Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, we do pray that you would enable us to be more than merely hearers, because that would simply lead us to deceive ourselves and thinking that everything is fine with our lives and we don't need to do anything else. But Father, I pray that you would enable us to see how your word applies to our everyday lives, how your word applies to our church family, how your word applies to our individual lives. Lord, how we as your people are to live in this world as your disciples. Lord, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and for the men that traveled with him, such as Timothy. And Father, we thank you for preserving your word for us. Use it to make us look more and more like Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now follow along in your copies of God's Word as I read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Here is a trustworthy saying. Now he says that not because everything else that he says has been untrustworthy. But this is similar to the things like Jesus would say when he would say, truly, truly. In other words, this is a profound truth. You really need to listen to what I'm about to say. This is vitally important. So it's not that the other things aren't. But this is something I really want to highlight and that you pay attention to this. So here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This ends the reading of God's word. And again, may the Spirit enable us to be more than merely hearers. This year, I've entitled our Advent series as The Gospel of Christmas. And instead of going to the traditional passages, such as in Luke or in Matthew, we are looking at the letters of the apostles, what the apostles had to say about the birth of Christ. They teach us that the gospel can be seen through his birth, through his first advent. And by the way, Advent simply means coming, and obviously refers to his first coming. We celebrate his first Advent because we believe in his second Advent. We know that the gospel teaches us that he came as a babe, and he lived a perfect life so that he could offer himself as our perfect sacrifice, and that one day he would come again. In fact, after his resurrection from the dead, he told his disciples that even though he was leaving them, they did not need to be afraid because he was coming back. He would come again. So you see, we don't celebrate the first Advent merely because it's an ancient church tradition, but we celebrate the first Advent because it gives us hope about the second Advent. Because he came, we know that he will come again. And it gives us great encouragement. It's a celebration because it's the introduction to the gospel for us. Now, the routine emphasis of the apostles' preaching was not necessarily on the birth of Christ. Their routine emphasis in preaching the gospel was always on the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. That's what you hear the apostles preaching most often as it's recorded in the New Testament. However, they did make many statements, and very important statements, about the birth of Christ as well. And so last week, Pastor Paul preached from Galatians 4, which is probably the most difficult one of this whole series, and I gave it to him. But in Galatians 4, you heard that Christ came in order to redeem us from the law, to set us free from the curse of the law. Christ came to fulfill the demands that God established by his law, to redeem us, to purchase us, and set us free. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he gives us a wonderful 9-word summation of the gospel of Christmas. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the purpose of Christmas. That's the gospel of Christmas. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. In this verse, and in Paul's explanation of it, we have three solid reasons why we celebrate his first advent. And that gives us hope concerning his second advent. And then the first and most obvious reason is that Christ Jesus came into this world, as Paul says, to save sinners. I love the way David Platt, another pastor, explains this. And he borrows words that others have used as well, but then he expands a little bit. I love this. He says, Jesus Christ came to live the life we could not live, to die the death we deserve to die, and to rise in victory over the enemies we could not conquer, sin and death. There's the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's break that down just a little bit and some of these important words that Paul uses in these in this simple nine-word summation. First of all, he says Christ. In saying Christ, he is referring to him as the anointed king. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the one for which all of Israel was praying in anticipation that he would come. He is the Christ, the Messiah. You probably remember also the words the angel said to Joseph, and this is why he refers to him as Jesus. He is Christ Jesus, that earthly name that he took after the incarnation when God became a man. And the angels said to Joseph regarding his soon-to-be bride, Mary. Remember, the angel told Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means the Lord who saves. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed king. He is Jesus, the Lord who saves. But then Paul says he came into the world. Now, it may not seem that significant at first, but it's vitally important to our faith that we recognize that Jesus came. His birth in Bethlehem was not his beginning. He existed prior to his birth, therefore, he descended to earth. He came into the earth. He humbled himself and became a man. He came into this world. He existed before the world. Because he came into this world, he knows what it is to be hungry and thirsty. Because he came into this world, he knows what it is to be tired and rejuvenated. He knows what it is to be tempted by the devil and to be victorious. He knows what it is to be let down and encouraged. He knows what it is, what it's like when your family doesn't understand you and they let you down or even ostracize you. He knows what it's like to be a man because he came and humbled himself and became a man. He came into this world, but he came for a purpose. And Paul says that its purpose is to save sinners. Before his birth, his purpose for coming into this fallen, messed up world was to save sinners. And to save simply means to deliver us, to rescue us from our own sin, from death and darkness, from hell and judgment and condemnation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to rescue us from the judgment that is to come. The eternal Son of God, the eternal Son of God became flesh and blood so that he could pay the price to rescue his children and present us to his Father without blemish or stain. Because he gives us his righteousness. He came into this world to save sinners like you and me. Can't you see the unconditional grace of God in this? No one is saved because we deserve it. In fact, the Apostle Paul says it's just the opposite. I am the worst of sinners, Paul says. He admits that he is literally the chief sinner, the foremost sinner. In fact, in the original Greek, that's exactly what he says, among whom I am the chief, or the foremost. But that's the English way of saying what the Greek says. The word order is different in the Greek, and it's rather awkward to say in the English. But literally it says, among whom foremost or chief am I. Now, he could have ordered the words differently. He could have said, I am the chief sinner. But he changed the word order for a very important, significant reason. It emphasizes the word chief. That is the word in that phrase that is emphasized, repeat, or overabundant. I am the chief, numero uno. I am the biggest sinner, the worst sinner of all. As he does that, he diminishes himself so that he can exalt Christ. I am the worst sinner. Pastor Derek Thomas, at one time, was an associate pastor in Jackson, Mississippi. And when he was there, he preached a sermon on this passage. And I like this one statement. You know, I like the whole sermon, but this one statement in particular really stood out to me. He said, and he kind of gave an interesting theory behind this statement of Paul as being the chief sinner. Listen to what he said. He said, Paul seems to have gone through somewhat of a revolution. When he writes to the Corinthians, in roughly speaking 55 AD, he calls himself the least of the apostles. When he writes to the Ephesians about 5 years later, he calls himself the least of the saints. But when he writes to Timothy about another 5 years again, he calls himself the chief of sinners. It looks as though the Apostle Paul, as he grew in grace, also simultaneously grew down in his estimation of himself. Paul recognized his own sinfulness. But in recognizing his own sinfulness, he exalts Christ. And that leads us to the second reason that Christ Jesus came. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. But Christ Jesus, secondly, Christ Jesus also came into the world to display his unlimited patience. And that's what Paul is recognizing by his acknowledgement that he's the worst of sinners. This displays the unlimited patience of Christ. Paul's recognition of himself as a chief of sinners is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. It not only it exalts Christ, but also puts on the display of his unlimited patience toward Paul, so that everyone could see it, and that so that many others would come to believe in Christ as well. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like the Apostle Paul, so that people would see the unlimited patience of God. It shrinks Paul, a great man of the faith, but it exalts Christ. If God could save a wicked man like the Apostle Paul, then this is really good news for anyone who has ever thought that God surely wouldn't save me. I've hated him. I've worked against him. I even tried to prevent others from believing him by arguing with them about him. He would never forgive me. If you think that you're beyond the mercy of God, or if you've begun to lose hope for that loved one or friend, then hear this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the worst of them. If God could patiently put up with the chief persecutor of the church and chose to make him the chief missionary of the church, then he can certainly save you or your loved one. And his patience with you is unlimited. No one is beyond the reach of his saving grace. No one. This is one of the reasons years ago when our troops were entering Iraq to hunt down and eliminate Saddam Hussein, this is one of the reasons that we prayed from this pulpit for God's mercy toward Saddam Hussein, that he would be saved, that he would be one of the great examples of God's mercy and his patience. Now, by praying like that, does not ignore the horrific sins that the man committed, but it exalts Christ, that Christ could save anyone. He could display his unlimited patience toward the worst of sinners. So we must continue to pray, and we must continue to believe that he can still do that. Not only does his grace display his patience, but lastly, we have Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to display the unlimited patience of God. And then lastly, Christ Jesus came into the world to display his glory. When the Apostle Paul recounts the mercy of God toward him, when he reflected on how good God had been to him, his only response was to burst out into praise. He can't help but exalt Christ. If you're a child of God, if you know that your sins are forgiven, you can't help but praise God. And so Paul bursts out now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Sounds like he's done with the letter, but he still has three more chapters to go. Four more. He still has a lot more to write. But because he recognizes what a desperately wicked man that he was and how good God had been to him, he can't help but burst out with praise. And that's the response of any believer that sees the mercy of God. We recognize that he is worthy of all honor and glory. In Philippians 2, Lord willing, the passage that we will look at next week, we're told that after Jesus humbled himself and gave himself as our sacrifice, that God exalted him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted him, referring to Christ, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God exalted Christ, and so should we. Paul is pronouncing, he's proclaiming the glory of God when he recognizes how wicked he was and how good God has been. He proclaims the glory of God and that he should be honored and glorified in us. When you know that you have sinned and have been set free, you should be the happiest person alive. We must exalt Christ. We must also give him the honor and glory that he deserves, which means that we will also recognize that he is the one and only true God. It means that we will worship him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. It means that we will also love him and love one another like he has loved us. It means that we will submit to him and his commands, that we will forgive one another like he has forgiven us. It means that we will be patient with one another like he has been patient toward us. To honor him, we simply must do what the Apostle Paul said to the Romans in chapter 12. We must become living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him as an act of spiritual worship. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's you and me. Christ Jesus came into this world to display his unlimited patience with people like you and like me. Christ Jesus came into this world to display his glory. We also must give him the honor and glory that he deserves by giving him our whole lives. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that Christ Jesus came into this world. We recognize that we too are sinners. Father, I pray that you would enable us to see, as the Apostle Paul did, the depths of our sin. That we would humble ourselves and recognize that we are the chief of sinners. That we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve blessings in this life. But you are the good and gracious God. So that you sent your Son into this world to save people like us. And Lord, we're thankful that you also have been so patient with us. That when the time was right, you made us alive. But while you waited until that time was right, you demonstrated such patience toward us. Lord, I pray that we would also demonstrate such patience with one another. And Father, we're thankful that by Jesus Christ coming into this world, your honor and glory are on display. And Father, I pray that we would also display your honor and glory by our obedience to your commands. That we would love one another and be patient with one another and forgive one another and etc. That others would recognize your glory through us. Father, we thank you that Christ came into the world for us. And we pray this in his name. Amen.